And after doing that for about 7 years, I realized I didn't have a passion for this. I continued doing it because it paid the bills and I was good at it. But aside from that, I didn't really see the value, especially not for the prices we were charging. And I didn't see myself as a knowledgeable resource, since I knew in the back of my mind that I had never done any of this practically. Welcome. I'm your host, Mark Graziano, and this is the GRC Podcast. This is your source for discussions about governance, risk, compliance, and more. I partner with incredible security champions to challenge the GRC industry stereotype and to outline security career and program strategies that you can implement today. My name is Mark Graziano, and I'm the creator and host of the GRC Podcast. After releasing 5 episodes, I think now is the appropriate time for me to formally introduce myself and speak a little bit more at length why I created the podcast and what I hope to accomplish with it. I'm not going to run through my resume, but at the same time, I do want to give a little bit of background about myself so maybe you can understand a little bit more about some of the color that I bring to the governance, risk, and compliance space and why I think about certain things the way that I do. I have a computer engineering degree, and for those of you who don't know, computer engineering is the perfect mix of electrical engineering and computer science. So by the time you have to enter the workforce, you're completely unmarketable against electrical engineers and computer scientists. So 0 out of 10, would not recommend anybody go after that particular degree. After I got out of college, I was still trying to figure out what exactly I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to go into the tech space, but I wasn't quite sure in what capacity. So I started out working for a small IT outsourcing company. So basically, if you were a small company and you didn't have the budget to hire a full-time IT team, you would hire us. And that was a fantastic opportunity for me because it was the first time that I was in a setting. I was a brand new college grad. I had my degree. Pat myself on the back. Look at the accomplishments you had. And I was working with people who didn't go to college. And I was the dumbest person in that entire room. And it was a phenomenal feeling because after graduation, I don't know if anybody else had similar feelings where you thought, is this the peak of my learning potential? Is this somehow going to be the end of my lifelong learning experience? Will I ever be able to learn as efficiently if I'm not paying some institution thousands and thousands of dollars? And surprise, you can learn pretty much the same or better, especially if you're searching for answers in the context of real world problems. Chances are you're going to come to better conclusions doing it on your own outside of a formal learning environment. So if you haven't gone to college and you're in the tech space, totally fine. I would say continue just learning practical skills, and you will be light years ahead of anybody who's relying strictly on the things that they learned in textbooks. After that, I went back to the Northern Virginia area where I'm originally from, and I worked for a consulting firm. Obviously, if you're in the Northern Virginia area, you're right near DC. So the consulting firms over there are picking up a lot of government contracts. So I worked with the Department of Defense and other government agencies, and my primary focus was on industrial control systems. Now, the funny thing, when I started out that job, after leaving the IT help desk job, I really wanted to do something that was aligned with penetration testing. And I was big into building things with Raspberry Pis and Arduinos and all that fun stuff. And I really wanted to be technical. And when I applied for this job and had the interview process, like, yeah, we're going to do red team, blue team stuff, hacking, it's going to be great. And I was all jazzed about it. I got the job offer and I was super excited to start my first day. And then the very first day, I remember they handed me this just ugly spreadsheet, and it was certification and accreditation. I'm sitting there thinking, like, when do we get to the fun part? And we never did. I continued to do the certification and accreditation piece, doing things like DICAP and RMF. And after that, I tried to pivot to another consulting firm, thinking maybe this is an opportunity for me to get out of the space that I'm in and do some penetration testing. And I went to another company and I said, I will accept this job offer because it was for a PCI gig, if you promise to cross-train me and eventually transition me over to some of your more technical testing teams. They said, oh yeah, absolutely. Of course. We'll absolutely do that for you. So I did PCI assessment, another PCI assessment, said, hey, when are we going to move over to doing some penetration testing? Oh, don't worry. Yeah, that'll happen. But in the meantime, we do have other customers that need these assessments. So here, go out and continue to do them. So if you're making money for a company and you're consistently doing it and there's a consistent amount of work, it's going to be really hard to justify for that company to hard pivot and put you on something that is not generating any kind of revenue and is also potentially taking time and resources away from other teams since they have to train you up. So at that point, I realized I think I'm a GRC person. So I went to another consulting firm to expand my skills, maybe get some different perspectives. It all kind of was the same thing. And after doing that for about 7 years, I realized I didn't have a passion for this. I continued doing it because it paid the bills and I was good at it. But aside from that, I didn't really see the value, especially not for the prices we were charging. And I didn't see myself as a knowledgeable resource, since I knew in the back of my mind that I had never done any of this practically. So I guess if you're one of my past customers, I am sorry. I'm sure there are some things where I gave you recommendations and I was patting myself on the back for, oh, look at me talking about the industry best. And it had no consideration for your culture, your constraints, your team dynamics, your products, your customers. And that's also one of the reasons why I wanted to make this podcast, is because in addition to not feeling personally fulfilled, I recognize the way the industry views GRC resources. In fact, I came across a Spirit Halloween meme that was at the time that I was brainstorming what I wanted this podcast to be. And it was the GRC analyst. It includes very obvious statements, a very unreasonably large spreadsheet. And it was just the characterization of a GRC resource. Like, I got it. I could understand it. And this was something that, while it's good to be able to laugh at ourselves, at the same time, I recognize this is what our colleagues think of us. And I think if you're doing the job correctly, that's not how you should be doing it. And it wasn't until I worked for Stephen Nguyen, who was the director of governance, risk, and compliance for Segment at the time, that I realized there is actual value in the way that we're doing it. And the way that it's being applied in many cases is not beneficial to the business, and it's not beneficial to the individuals who are doing it. They're not having growth opportunities. They're being siloed. They're not giving recommendations that are grounded in any kind of reality that they're dealing with at their companies. And I think that needs to change. And what I'm hoping to do as well is take some of the complexity away from governance, risk, and compliance. I think we have a strong history of focusing on the process rather than the outcomes, and placing a lot of value on the process itself and not so much on what exactly it does for the business. So for example, in consulting, I know a lot of consulting firms out there, and listen, if you guys are listening, like, I'm spilling the beans on this, policy packs are some of those things that it's super expensive. If you're going to hire a consulting firm to write you policies, chances are they're going to have some PDF document. It's going to be long. It's going to be convoluted. It's going to be hard to understand. They go in, they control F, they give you the document, and you're almost in the same, if not a worse place, since your team has to go in and tailor the documents to your actual business. And those are the types of engagements that I didn't find to be valuable. That things like risk assessments, where there's a spreadsheet that's so convoluted and it has so many different formulas and it results in these numbers that don't really tell you where I will. This is like, it's got 7 decimal places. What am I supposed to do with that? What exactly is the actionable thing that I have to do with this bizarre number that you were able to calculate? And also, what math did you use to calculate it? And I think there's a culture within governance, risk, and compliance where we place a lot of value on the complexity. If it's so complex, nobody else can do it, that must mean my work and my job is valuable. And I don't think that's the case. I think the way you bring value to your business is by understanding the business itself, every single one of the counterparts that you're supposed to be working with, HR, legal, your engineering teams, anybody else who's thrown in the mix there, and understanding the products, understanding their use cases. Don't just understand, oh, my company does X. Use the product. Figure out how it functions live. Like, what are the business use cases? How are your customers using this? What are the features that you offer? Understanding your internal stakeholders, understanding the company culture that you're working with, understanding that there are constraints. One of the things that I did when I was starting out was wanting everything to be absolutely perfect. And that's something that just, it can't be accomplished. That's not the purpose of GRC. You're never going to drive risk to zero. You're never going to implement every single security control that's going to stop every single one of these adversaries from getting in. That's just not reality. And I think being able to address business problems grounded in reality and understanding, what can I do that has the most impact, that has the least friction in the business, and makes the best use of our resources, that is really what drives value when it comes to a GRC resources, being able to provide those types of recommendations and being able to communicate in a way that's easily understood at all levels between your engineers and your C-level. I've seen GRC resources where, even if they're presenting to me, it's something that is very complicated, it's very cumbersome, it's very dense. And if I'm having trouble focusing on it and paying attention and understanding how it is you came to the conclusions you came to, imagine trying to present that up to a C-level resource. If my attention span is small, you know, C-level resources are, they're even smaller. And I think we're doing ourselves a disservice if we're relying, again, on the process rather than the outcomes. And in each one of these episodes, what I'm trying to do is speak to individuals. And I think we've all had this experience where internally you have one-on-ones that can almost change your life, speaking to people who have perspectives that you might not have considered. And all I'm doing is basically giving these people an opportunity to speak on a wider level and get their message out to somebody other than just me. And that's just what I've been doing from the start of this. And I really want to focus on people who are doing work that, again, it's grounded in an understanding of the realities that the business has to work with. Again, if it's the people, if it's the money, if it's the time, if it's just any of the other constraints that are there, and they're doing it in a very productive, measurable, and practical way. And I'm hoping at the end of each one of these episodes, you'll be able to take at least one thing away that immediately after the episode ends, you'll be able to bring to your work. You'll be able to better your company. You'll be able to better your program, and you'll be able to better your career. Just one of those. So in every single one of the episodes that I have, I want one takeaway that results in that kind of betterment for you. These episodes, they're going to be twice a month, and it's going to be interview based. And we might change the format of this as I get a little bit more comfortable, but this is the format going forward for right now. So a couple of high-level topics that I'm interested to talk about in future episodes, things like building a security team. I think that's one of those things that's so important to companies that kind of gets forgotten, especially as you're trying to scale. And I've seen it firsthand at different companies where the product is scaled, you need more hands on deck, but you're not taking the time to scale the culture and making the right security hires. And I think having somebody on here who can tell you successfully, this is what I've done to develop the highest performing resources as well as the best performing security culture, it's very important for businesses that are small to enterprise level companies. And I think if you're making the wrong security hires, chances are the outcomes are not going to be what you're expecting it to be. And I think you can solve for that before that even becomes a problem. The next one is going to be AI. I wouldn't be a podcaster working in the tech space, working in security, if I wasn't dropping the word AI or using that as a hashtag everywhere I possibly could. So I do have some resources who are lined up who have been in the AI space for longer than ChatGPT was a buzzword. So being able to hear their perspectives on where AI was, where is it now that it's being more mainstream and formally adopted, and where is it going to go is going to be very valuable for our organization, because there's a lot that we can do to automate so we can focus on more cerebral tasks as opposed to the highly manual and low value things that we tend to come across in the governance, risk, and compliance space. And the very last one, just as an example that I want to talk about, is engaging the community. And I think this is one of the single most important things that I've done for my career. I've had numerous certifications. I think at one point I even had about 10 certifications, and nothing has done more for me for being recognized as a competent professional in my particular industry as getting involved in the community, commenting on other people's stuff, putting out my own content, and really getting involved. So I would 100% recommend that other people do this. Also, I would recommend if you're going to get involved in the community, think of a medium that you're not good at. For example, I think I am not great at speaking off the cuff. So I think podcasting was something that, one, would help me speak better off the cuff. I hopefully will get better as a host as this goes on, and hopefully you guys will see that as well. But also, I think podcasting, it's very easy to bring new people on board, especially having those interviews, and it creates a quick connection with people. So that's why I focused specifically on podcasting. The format of these, it's going to be largely interviews. And the reason for that is I think we all have discussions internally as we're working like our 40 hours a week, where we speak with individuals one-on-one and they say things that changes the trajectory of our careers, whether it's through like a mindset shift or they're doing something that's particularly interesting that nobody else is doing, or they're approaching a problem in a way that you've never seen approached before. And I'm basically giving the resources, and this is early on, people that I've spoken to who have done that for me. And I'm giving them an opportunity to share their understanding, their thought process, their mindsets to a larger audience other than just myself. But as we do this in the future, I'm going to start opening the door to people who I have not had any kind of conversation with, that maybe I've found something that they've done on LinkedIn that I'm really keen to talk to them about. Or if you have something you want to talk to, feel free to pitch it to me. And that gets into the participation. This is going to be a community first podcast. I'm not here to sell you anything. I don't have a consulting firm. I don't have courses. I don't have collateral. I don't have like a membership that I'm going to charge anybody for. I'm not hawking products. If I choose to speak about a product, it's because I see value in it and I'm getting absolutely no compensation for it. So as you're listening to these episodes, there is going to be no sale involved, whether that's a personal sale of me as a brand or something that you think I'm selling from a vendor perspective. Now, that might change in the future. I've got kids, I got bills, I got a house that I need to renovate. So that may change, but for the time being, as far as I can see, this is going to be community first. So I'm going to focus on those interviews, focus on connecting, focus on getting some of the main problems that we experience as governance, risk, and compliance professionals out there, seeing what we can do to pick the best of every single person's program and bring that together, hopefully in some cohesive thing that we can use to better our own organizations. The podcasts are going to be twice a month. It's going to be the second Monday and the fourth Monday of every single month. We're going to stay consistent on that. I'm starting to finally get a good schedule down where I'm going to start backlogging a bunch of these interviews. So there's going to be no missed dates. I know I missed the last release, but we're going to do better. And I think the sweet spot for timing of this is going to be about 40 minutes to an hour, depending on who I'm talking to and what the topic is. Now, that's just what I think right now. I really want people getting in contact with me to share any of the thoughts that they may have or present an idea or present some work they may be working on. I do want feedback on this podcast. I did start this because I thought this was valuable. These are things that I wish somebody would have told me earlier in my career, so I could have picked up on this sooner. But we are going to get to a point where I don't want to just be pumping out content that is valuable to only me. I want to make sure that we're having the conversations that the broader governance, risk, and compliance community is wanting to have. So you can get in contact with me. You can go to thegrcpodcast.com. On that page, there is a contact page. You can use that to contact me. You can email me at mark@thegrcpodcast.com. You can find us on LinkedIn. I do have a company page for the GRC podcast. You can find me on LinkedIn. Those are going to be the main ones. We do have other social media. I will link those in the show notes, but those are going to be the main ways that you can get in contact with me. There are some future opportunities that I'm hoping to do. Newsletters is definitely one of them that I think could be valuable depending on the frequency and the content of it. So there are things that I'm considering as we're going to the Governance, Risk, and Compliance Podcast 2.0. Since this is a community first podcast, I'm going to ask you guys, I've been hoping I never had to say this phrase, but like, subscribe, comment, we need some engagement. So if you see and you've enjoyed the content that you've been seeing me put out, definitely subscribe, like, rate, anything that works in the algorithm to get us in front of more people so we can start building that community a little bit bigger and a little bit quicker. Definitely, if there's anything that you've seen in particular that's been helpful, feel free to reach out. I'd love to just discuss. Like I said before, you can find me on LinkedIn. Anything you want to discuss, I am absolutely open to it. Now, who did I make this podcast for? So obviously, one, governance, risk, and compliance professionals. Two, security leaders. Again, alluding back to the fact that I'm well aware of how some of you think of GRC. And look, again, we've brought it on ourselves, and I'd like to dispel some of that. And I'd like to bring you guys to the table and kind of hear the things that we're doing, the perspectives that we have. It's not all just compliance regulations. We're not going to have that conversation about compliance is not security. Yes, we all know. But at the same time, we do have other obligations. And I think being able to demonstrate why we do certain things, but then also hearing from you as to why certain things might not be the best approach, this needs to be a two-way conversation. And I'm hoping to do that. The other thing that makes governance, risk, and compliance, I think, particularly fun is the fact that you get to talk across everybody in the business. So if you're listening to this, you're either a governance, risk, and compliance professional, you are in engineering, or you're in security, and you're curious to hear a little bit more about what it is that we do and why we think the way that we do. And also, if you are in sales, if you are selling to security conscious stakeholders, chances are there's some element of governance, risk, and compliance that you're dealing with. So listening to this podcast, hearing how security stakeholders view security, what they're looking for in other products, what they're doing in their own products, this is going to help you in those sales conversations. Also, on that note, I am going to lay down a hard ground rule. If you are a salesperson and you are jumping in my DMs on LinkedIn, you have to get 5 listeners. If you can do that for me, I will definitely take a call. Now, I can't promise a sale, but at the same time, if you're working on something that creatively tries to solve problems that I care about, at the very least, I want to be able to see how you're approaching the problem. And if there's something that you're doing that I might be able to provide additional guidance on, I am more than happy to do so. I'm always curious to see the fun and interesting ways people are approaching problems that we're all dealing with today. And if you're trying to solve those problems, then it's the least I can do to try to help you solve in a more potentially efficient way, or a way that better relates to the way that we're actually meeting the problem at our businesses. So I hope you found that interesting, or at least learned a little bit more about what I'm trying to accomplish with this podcast. So again, please, please reach out, whether it's feedback, whether it's engagement that you want to join the podcast as a guest, whether it's just hear some critiques, Mark, about the way that you present yourself on camera. I'm more than open to it. So you can get in contact with me. Again, I will leave all that information in the show notes for you, so you have it at your disposal. So that's a little bit about me. It's a little bit about the podcast and my thought process for creating it in the first place and kind of what to expect in the future. Again, please get in contact with me. Let's make sure we're spreading the word about our problems and trying to crowdsource the solutions to them, because everybody knows something that we don't. And the best way to get that information is to communicate. Until next time. Thanks for joining us for another episode of the GRC Podcast. We're releasing new episodes on the second and fourth Monday of every month, so be sure to mark your calendar. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you love to listen to your favorite podcasts. If you're enjoying the show, please take a moment to rate and leave a review. It really helps us reach more listeners like you. Don't forget to connect with us on our social media. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram under the handle @thegrcpodcast or on LinkedIn by searching for the GRC Podcast Company page. This is a community-first podcast, so we'd love to hear your thoughts, your feedback, and suggestions for future episodes. Lastly, please make sure to visit our website, thegrcpodcast.com, where you can find show notes, behind the scenes, and exclusive content. Thanks for listening. Until next time.